Hey, God bless everybody. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We just come out of 2018, and now we're in 2019. But I got to stop and say this first. I really want to, we don't give enough thanks. I want to give thanks to Bob and Mick, who had a heart to start this thing years ago. You got to give them credit. You got to give them credit. Thank you. Thank you. So I had to ask myself, did I come out of 2018? The year itself is 2019, but did I come out of 2018? How many times have I come out of prison? Did I come out of prison? That may seem weird to somebody to ask that question. What do you mean, did you come out? You're standing at home. You're standing in the church. You're standing in the courthouse, you're standing wherever, but did I ever come home? See, because I had to understand something. In order to go in somewhere, I have to come out of somewhere else. And I have to understand first what a place is. This building is a place, but that's not the place we're talking about when we're talking about coming out to go in. A place is a mindset. Proverbs 27, I believe in, or 23 and 7 says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I came out of prison, I don't know how many times, and brought the prison mentality with me. In the church, physically, still in prison, in my mind. Expecting things to change for me. Knew how to put on the right clothes. Knew how to say the right things. Know all those things. But I had to first understand what this is. I look at the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt on a 2-day journey. It's to the bend. Were they out of Egypt? They came out of Egypt and still for 40 years complained and cried and whined when things didn't look like they thought they should have looked and complained about, I wish I could go back and get garlics and leeks. Not mindful that these people had their foot on their neck all the time. Not mindful these people were beating them all the time. Not mindful that they were working them to death without pay or a lot of anything all the time. But they're ready to go back because in their mind, they were still in Egypt. They had never left Egypt. They were still in Egypt all those years in their mind. You know, somebody asked me one time, a guy sponsor asked me, he says, well, Lyle, how many times did you relapse? You know what I told him? So I never relapsed. I never left.
Yeah.
Never left. I was a dope fiend all the time. But I was just a dope fiend playing a game. At different periods of my life, I had some abstinence because I was just a dope fiend playing a game.
Come on.
I was a dope fiend that learned a few scriptures. I was a dope fiend that somebody brought a suit for. I was a dope fiend that was sleeping in somebody's nice home, so it made it okay to make it seem like I wasn't doing that no more. But I never left. My mind was still on, how can I get over? My mind was still at, how can I satisfy myself when nobody's watching? My mindset had never left that. My mindset was that I had to learn to be slick and say the right things in front of the right people so that I could appear to be whole. That cost me almost 20 years of my life in and out of the prison system, playing games. Now, let me explain something. I have taken quite a few what I call emotional vacations. Somebody says, what's the most of vacation? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to explain it to you. This is an emotional vacation. How many times have I sat in the church and the music was going good? The few things in my life seemed okay. And I got excited inside. I got revved up inside. Run to the front. Run to the altar. Dance across the altar. All those things. Shout for joy. But by the time I get back to my seat, the same old dope fiend mindset is there. See, because I'm going to tell you something about a vacation. You take a vacation, if you've ever been on one, after a while you start to get homesick. You start to get homesick. You get homesick enough, you want to come back. You want to come back to the home that you thought was, you know, this what is really home for you. See, in all the years, and I'm not saying this to down anyone because this was me. I'm talking about me. I really thought I was out, but I wasn't out. Because back in my seat, I still thought about the $25 I had in my pocket or the $15 I had stashed away. That's enough to get me a rock. That was enough to get what I needed. But I had an emotional vacation. I was able to escape for just that moment. Able to escape for just that moment. Because I looked right. Because people would pat me on the back. Well, Brother Lyle, you sure doing good. And that was good enough for me. Until you wasn't looking. That was good enough for me. Because I didn't understand in my finite mind that in order to go in somewhere, I had to come out of something. I can't be standing here tonight preaching to you and standing in my apartment at the same time. I just can't be both places. It's about the state of mind. The building has nothing to do with where you are. The building has nothing to do with where you are. I somehow confused the fact that if I acted like a Christian, or if I acted right in places like this, if I acted right on my job for just long enough, if I acted right in front of the court long enough, then I was okay. Because in my mind, that I just thought that by osmosis or something, things would change. But I still, in my mind, had a desire to get high. I just didn't get high because I was on house arrest. And I didn't want them to trap me back and take me back. Because I was, you know, so I played the game. And I'm talking about me. So I played the game. I had never come out. So I never relapsed. I never left. I never come out. I began to think about some things. I began to think about the movie, The Color Purple. Anybody see that movie, The Color Purple? When that lady came down that aisle singing at the end and went into that church, man, it set an emotional high on me. And everybody in that church was up and they were going. And just imagine, it seemed like just the right thing. It's like, this is beautiful. But how many of you know that at the end of that thing, they went back to what they were doing because that was an act? It was an act. Someone went back to beating their wives. Someone went back to getting high. Someone went back to sleeping with women and men that want their wife or husband. Someone went back to doing that because it was an act. They got a check to play that. All those years, I was an actor without getting a check. Hanging out, pretending that something was different in my life because I did not understand in order to go in, I had to come out. Trying to always be, you know, and I sponsor people today. And some people think I'm kind of gruff. So a lot of people don't ask me to sponsor them because they think I'm kind of gruff. Because I'm going to tell you, if you talk to me, look, I'm not here to play games. I'm not here for you to use me for an excuse. I'm not here for you to hide behind me. I'm not a sugar daddy. I'm not Santa Claus. I'm none of those things. And if you got to lie to me, man, keep it. Because you don't owe me nothing. You don't owe me nothing. But my time is too valuable to play with you. Just call me when you need it. Call me when you want something. And I can say that because I remember a time I was a thief on the streets and a dope fiend. I remember breaking in places, stealing equipment, microphones and things like that. And you know what? I sold a lot of that to crooked churches right here in this town. Some of the crooked pastors bought a lot of that stuff for me. I went into a church one time with my stuff and all my pride and all my glory, looking a hot mess. And I went to New Joshua Church with Prophet Cedric Walker. He was sitting there and he had some women and people sitting around. And he looked up at me and said, Brother Kelso, said, what you got, Brother Kelso? What you doing? And I laid all my stuff on the table. And then they were picking it up and they were looking, man, this is top nine. They were looking, I'm hearing in the back of my mind because I'm counting my bag of rocks and counting who I'm going to call, what girl I'm going to call or where I'm going to go because that was I was nothing but a dope fiend and a pervert. It was my life. So that's what I was trying to feed. That's what I was trying to feed, that very thing. So they were talking, then the prophet looked at me. He said, Brother Castle, He said, "What you want?" That's a dope fiend's dream. Because now I'm counting, I'm clicking dollar signs in my mind. I tell you what, I want this for this, and I want that for that, and I want this for that, and I want this. That's what I want. And I stood mile at him. He said, "Brother Kelsall," he said, "you're in the right place." He said, "What you need is here." He said, "But today, you don't want nothing." He said, "Come back when you want something, Brother Kelsall," and slid that mess across, and I wanted to grab him across that table. He embarrassed me in front of everybody. Every time I see Prophet Walker, I don't care if we're in the store, I don't care where we are, I grab him and hug him. Amen. I grab him and hug him because he was honest with me. See, I wasn't the dope fiend that you can Lily White talk to. I wasn't the dope fiend that you can pussyfoot around with. I needed somebody to tell me the doggone truth because I was stuck in a place I couldn't come out of. All my life, facing down gunshots, facing down beatings, stabbings, facing down prison cells, facing down all these things, homelessness, losing everybody who was in my life because I was stuck in a place I couldn't come out of. Always seeming to be in the right place, but not really because I'm still back there. You got to ask yourself tonight, where am I? And you got to be honest with yourself. See, because you can play the game with me and Marvin and Donnie and the mentors. You can play the game long enough, but okay. I was in court today and I seen a young man that I had given my stuff to and I've been talking. He always, I'm going to call you. And I told the brother, okay, well, it's whenever you're ready. And I seen him today in the jury box. In ours. And he going to tell me, I don't know. Well, you know what I told him? I don't know either. Because you ain't told me nothing. You know, but all the time, you know, and this isn't, it's not funny, but it's a reality. This is just a reality, dude. Hey, dude, you where you chose to be. I'm going to tell you something. This year, I'm 59 years old. This year was the first year of my life that I had a Christmas tree in my own place by myself. I wasn't living in some woman's house. I wasn't prostituting myself out for somewhere to live. I was not on my brother's couch. I was not in my sister's basement. I was not in my cousin's garage. I was in a place where I pay the rent, where I meet the note. See, that may not mean nothing to anybody because somebody may be still stuck back there. Back there, Christmas tree didn't matter. I was the Grinch. I don't know how many presents I took from under the Christmas tree. You know, so that did the Christmas tree thing didn't matter to me. And even I'm talking about almost eight years saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and it took me that. What I'm saying is don't get in a hurry. Because even though I was out of that place, even in my mind, I hadn't got to the place where the Christmas tree mattered yet. It took time. It took time. I thank God that I began to understand that it wasn't about the place because I was in prison and I was free. After I gave my life to God, I went back to prison because I turned myself in and got to get the things of yesterday off of me. I did things I don't expect nobody here to do. I called the detectives and told them everything I did prior to the time I got saved. I told them about all the places I'd broken to. Everything because you know why? I didn't want yesterday to visit my tomorrow ever again. See, when my yesterday visits my tomorrow, I want it to be a testimony. I want it to be a testimony. See, I want somebody to say, man, I know when that dude broke into the church. That dude stole from his mama. You know, hey, yeah, I did all that. But you got to go back 8 years to pull it up. You got to go back and download it. Yeah, I did all those things. I stayed in the hospital. I would go to the hospital. When I was homeless, nowhere to go. I'd go hang out and stay at your hospital. Go down and steal food out of the kitchen. Go sit in the waiting rooms in intensive care and eat. And when I got through, I always had a backpack with me because I'd go in a room and take a VCR or something with me so I can get my thing going. That's what I did. See, I had to come out of that. I had to come out of that place. I had to come out of that place. I had to get into a place where I found a man's wallet two years ago in the middle of a parking lot at a gas station. And I looked at it. I didn't even open it up. I could see the money. And I quickly went inside. said, hey, someone dropped this wallet on the ground. See, I had to come out of that place in order to get to that place. You know, in order, I had to come out. You know, I couldn't get to healing. I couldn't get into a place of healing unless I left a place of hurting. I couldn't get into the place of wholeness unless I left a place of brokenness. You know, I couldn't get into the place of truth unless I left a lie. I could not get in the place of victory unless I left the place of being a victim. I had to stop whining and crying about what happened 50 years ago is why I'm acting like this. My mama didn't breastfeed me. You know, look here. Okay, now I'm 59 years old. Go buy some milk. Let's get by that part. Let's get by that part. Well, you know, I was molested when I was a child. Well, good gravy. That should be over now. How can I sell what I won't buy? How can I tell somebody that I'm sponsoring or mentoring or just God give me a word to give them and tell them God can deliver you when I'm still a dope fiend? How can I tell them God can deliver you when I'm still a thief? How can I do that? I had to come out of that place to get into this place. God has called everybody in this room to a place where you wouldn't even be here. Well, we got to quit straddling the fence. We got to keep one foot out of yesterday and quit trying to hold on to that. Because I'm going to tell you something. I relapsed in way before I ever used. Because I had already thought the ritual in my mind. I was on house arrest. Got off house arrest successfully. Working construction, making 20 bucks an hour, over 20 bucks an hour. Got me a nice car. Got two or three nice outfits. I was doing my thing. Had somebody hit my car and they sent me a check for $1,900. I got the check the night before I got off house arrest. I took that check and the little money I had in the bank and went on a 3 or 4 day binge. But the people in house arrest had just told me the day before, you made this through here better than anybody we've ever seen. Because I knew how to play the game. I'm over here, but I'm still in that place. I'm over here, but still in that place. I want to encourage somebody tonight. You don't have to be there. You don't have to stay there. This is what I had to do. I had to let somebody in my business. See, when I first met Marvin, I wouldn't let Marvin in my business. I'm not the same person, and I had been going through some things by the time I met Marvin. But I just wasn't ready because I was unique. He's not going to understand me because I'm tougher than most people. He's not going to understand me because I've been through more than most people. He's not going to understand me because I was worse than most people. We're all the same. We're all the same. Your story is my story. Different time, different place, different names. But your story is my story. Well, the day I decided to come out of that place, I told God, I said, God, you bring me a man to take me by the hand and walk me through this. See, my pride had went aside. I let all that junk go because no longer did I want to stand in two places. I wanted to be in a place of wholeness. You know, I knew the word years ago. I remember preaching the word back in jail and playing the game and preaching the word and going back and getting high and preaching the word and going back and getting high. And I was in the dope house one night getting high, and a dude had a priest who looked at me and said, hey, Lyle, you still preaching? Now I wanted to smack him. In front of everybody. You're like, Lyle, you still preaching? And what can I say? I just took a hit and I was about stuck. Wasn't nothing, had nothing to say. You know what I mean? When I finally got saved, I told God I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You know, sometimes I make decisions, I think, based on the love I have for people, and I try to help in a way that may not be help. But I see the destitute of the person, and I try to help out anyway. But you know something? I was another time preaching. I was preaching up in the jail. I was preaching in the jail. And me and a guy got into an argument. Wasn't even my business. I'm meddling. Because when I started to call myself reading the Bible, so I was one of the people who read the Bible and become a Pharisee. Because I'm reading the Bible today, you couldn't do nothing around me. Don't be cussing, don't be smoking cigarettes, don't be nothing. You couldn't do nothing around me. So I'm arguing with another guy because he's borrowing candy from another guy. Man, you ought not to be doing that because you know, yah, yah, yah. And the boy looked at me and said, next you're going to, how about you saved? I hit him right in the face. That was a good preacher. I hit him right in the face. I story, I am saved. But what I'm telling you, it's not even comfortable pretending. It was a movie called Stepdad, came out years ago. Anybody ever see that movie? And the guy played the game so long he forgot who he was. And then he was calling different names, looking back, and that's what I became. I became so confused that I was no good at home. I was no good at my job. Couldn't keep a job. Journeyman concrete finisher, couldn't keep a job. The union kept making excuses for me. People kept going to bat for me, trying, well, give him a chance. They would come. I skipped work. They'd come and be out of my bedroom window knocking to try to get me because they tried to give me a chance. But I went, man, why did people leave me alone? They were just trying to help me. But I had to learn to come out of that place to get into this place. I had to learn to come out of that place to get into that place. Well, I'm going to leave with you this tonight. If you want to be whole, you got to first be honest about where you are. See, because I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to Marvin, Donnie, Bob, Mick, Kayvon, Beck. It don't matter where you are. Jose, don't matter where you are in our mind. We want to meet. The Bible says, Paul said, I became all things to all men, that by all means I may win some. He was smart enough to understand that I'm not going to win them all, that I may win some for the kingdom of God. So we're willing, by the grace of God, want to meet a man where he is. Because if I meet you where you are, I can help you get to where you're trying to go. Because if you're lost, and you find yourself lost in a place in order to get where you're going, you got to first find out where you are right now. And if you can't be honest with where you are, you'll never get to where you want to be. I just want to thank God that we came out of 2018. We're in 2019. And I thank God that once I was born again, that I'm not going back. Amen. I'm not going back. People say about backsliding. I don't think that you backslide. I mean, they call it backsliding, but sometimes I still think that you left. If you're still holding on to some of that, still holding on just to the little bit. You know, I mean, I see my brother drinking some water. And it look like clean water. If I take just a little dust, sprinkle off in this water, that makes all the water dirty. And so I promised God that I wouldn't be a hypocrite, that whatever he put in me, I would do the best that I know how. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect in the sight of other people. Because as long as you don't do what other people want you to do, then you're not perfect. But let me tell you something. The Bible says in Matthew 5:48, it says, be ye there perfect. This is Jesus talking, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. That means get mature in Christ. Learn what God is asking you to do. Be honest about where you are and let God use you. Let's pray.